This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Halfway home on your Independence Day edition of You Better, You Bet. Nick and Ken have the day off. Adam Candy in Las Vegas, joined by Jeremy Kahn from Baltimore, as we have plenty to talk about, even though it's not a huge slate outside of baseball and tennis today. There is still lots of discussion for us, talking some NBA, talking some NFL. The drama continues year-round in both of those leagues, and that often presents opportunity for us as bettors to take advantage and find some edges in certain markets. If you're tuned in with us today, make sure that you're tuned in with us throughout the rest of the week as well. You can find us 24/7 on the BetQL network right here on the Odyssey app, streaming live nationwide. You can also go to betqlnetwork.com if you're joining us from one of those avenues today. Hey, thanks, pal. We appreciate that. If you want to see us live, go to Twitch, twitch.com/BetQL. You can download your favorite shows anytime as well in that app or anywhere you get your podcasts. The Daily Tip, BetQL Daily, You Better You Bet, BetMGM Tonight. Anyone you want to listen to, we've got a way for you to be able to listen to them. Jeremy and I are going to get back into some National Basketball Association talk. Free agent drama, of course, the order of the day for the NBA. We talked a lot about those movements and trades and what's going to happen with KD, what's going to happen with Kyrie. But right now, as the rosters stand at the sort of dawn of free agency, I want to find out what Jeremy thinks about the NBA title futures. And of course, look, we understand that if you're betting this market right now, you have to be willing to lock your money up for a year. And that changes the equation, I think, on what we're willing to bet on in the first place. Right, Jeremy?
Yeah, of course it has to, because now, like, things change quickly. Injuries, whatever, illness. I mean, there's all types of things. Trades happen. Things don't work out the way you plan them to, and they decide to blow it up. You know, there's all types of things that can go on, but you would be locked in for that entire year. Now, you can get to a point where you hedge, pick another team, what have you, but a lot of those teams at the top are interesting, and I do think the NBA is a top-heavy league, and finding value can be difficult sometimes.
And I think that's an important point you made in terms of the hedging, because sometimes what you're doing is putting down a future marker with some of these bets where you're hoping to just get down the line where you have a chance to hedge and lock in a profit. If you know you're betting a Western Conference future, you're betting an NBA title future, mm-hmm. and you want to see, you know, what you have available to you. Now, it's not a guarantee that if your bet is at the doorstep that you're going to want to hedge. There are calculations on that you can do to figure out if it's the right move for you. But when we talk about betting on futures, we're talking about where can you get yourself a potential payoff that is worth locking up money that you otherwise would be continually rolling through your bankroll during that time. Right now, the Boston Celtics are the title favorite at 5-1. Suns 5.5, Warriors and Bucks at 6, Clippers at 7, Heat at 9. Mavs, your Mavs on this list at 12-1, although I think I've seen them quite a bit longer at some other shops. But let's start at the top of the board here. Start with these favorites in the Celtics, Suns, Warriors, and the Bucks in particular. Teams that we've seen either win a championship or be close to a championship in the last couple of years. If I take the prices out of it, which I essentially can, right? 5 and 6-1 here, you're getting the same value on all of them. Who do you like among this group? Why do you think that one of these teams starts as one of the top favorites, if not the top favorite next year?
Well, I think I'm going to steal your thunder on this, but I love the Celtics. How do you not? I mean, with the trade of Brogdon, now you're going to have a player like Brogdon where he's not forced to play as many minutes. If they decide to do some sort of load management thing with him. It would be understandable with his injury history over the past couple years. Fits in perfectly, solid defender, unselfish player, understanding that your two superstars are the guys you want to go to, but other guys can help you win. And I just think the rotation, I love what Ime did with him this year, and a healthy Robert Williams would mean a lot to what they can do. I mean, you saw what he was able to do against the Warriors in a short period of time of just putting up numbers. So I really like the way that team's assembled, and I hope they don't do something drastic and make some big trade. And, you know, there were rumors of them being in on Kevin Durant, and I'm not trading off a young superstar and some other players to get a 34-year-old player that might help me get there now. But I think they can build something special here.
Yeah, by the way, that number I mentioned at the beginning was pre-free agency on the Mavs. They're 27-1 right now. To run farther down the list, Lakers at 12, the Philadelphia 76ers 15, Nuggets at 24, Grizzlies also at 27. Let's put a pin in that Memphis Grizzlies talk because I want to get back to your thoughts on what Memphis has been doing. But at the top of the board, if I were going to say I want to play a chalky team, it's hard to get away from the Celtics. And that's the beautiful thing. You're not stealing my thunder because we can both bet on them. The Boston Celtics at 5-1, I get it. Do you want to play 5-1 and have your money locked up for a year? Maybe not necessarily, but who do I think is a team that's most poised for next year? You and I talked off air a little bit about people often think stocks only go up, right? That we talk about a team like the Cincinnati Bengals and say, are they necessarily going to be back in the Super Bowl next year because they were in the Super Bowl this year and they made some good additions? No, that's just not the way it works. Certain teams catch breaks along the way. And if we're being honest about the Celtics, yeah, they caught some breaks to get where they were this year. They caught some breaks with the Chris Middleton injury to the Bucks. They caught some breaks with the Nets being banged up along the way, but that was not necessarily why they got there. If you look at their metrics over the last three quarters of the season, they were the number one team in basketball in net rating, and it wasn't close. They were otherworldly defensively, and it's what you just talked about. Their ability to switch everywhere, they're long, they're young. Yes, they do have a little bit of veteran leadership and a guy like Al Horford, but they are generally a young team with ascendant superstars right now. So that's where I'd be looking at the top of the board. Let's go back to that Memphis talk because they're right around where your Mavericks are at 27-1 right now. It's a brash team. It's a team with a lot of young talent. It's a team with a superstar in Ja Morant who just got paid. But are they constructed in a way, do you think, Jeremy, for Memphis to be able to make a run this year?
I do. I kept saying it last year that I thought they needed that season to kind of get into the playoffs, face some hardships, get down, find a way to fight back in, win a series. I know a lot of people buy into experience, and I think it does matter. But how do you get experience by getting there and having failure or success if it works out that way and building off of it? And I think Memphis is that team. I love the way they're assembled even without Ja. I think Ja puts them over the top, but look at how they played without him. It's like guys know their roles. And it's almost like everyone knows who has to step up. Would love to see Jaren Jackson Jr. somehow, some way, be able to stay out of foul trouble one day because I think the sky's the limit for his potential. But Ja Morant is—he's what makes that engine go. I mean, he's so good in so many facets of the game, and I think he's just going to get better as that jump shooting gets better and better. Him taking guys off the dribble is going to—I think he's second to none in the league in being able to get to the basket and finish. I was watching him year one where he was missing left-handed layups. He'd get there and he'd throw it a little too hard. This past year, you started to see him start to finish those more consistently, and I think that's what happens. So I think that's a really intriguing team out West that nobody's going to be talking about because of all the player movement.
No, of course they're not because it's not as sexy, right? It's not as sexy because they don't add anybody new, but they have a really solid coach in Taylor Jenkins. And think about where Memphis was last year. Memphis didn't lose in the playoffs because the Golden State Warriors were so great. Memphis lost in the playoffs because I still think it was a dirty play on the loose ball, grabbing Ja Morant's knee and making him unavailable to play in that series. Remember, Memphis had home court advantage in that series. They were the number two seed in the Western Conference last year. I don't know that I love them as an NBA title bet. I think I would probably be more apt to look at them in the Western Conference market because I think they're going to have to go through it one hell of a gauntlet just in the West and then potentially see a Boston or a Milwaukee or a Miami, a team that is, I think, head and shoulders still above them at the moment in one of those situations. And likely what you're going to see, whether I'm talking about Boston or Milwaukee, Miami to a degree, you're going to see a team with a little bit of experience, right? A team that's been there before, and a team that might be a little more challenging for them to get through. How far down the board would you be willing to go here, Jeremy? How far down among NBA championship odds would you be willing to go to look at a team that you'd be willing to take a chance on? I heard you mention liking the Pelicans core. They're 55-1. Bulls, of course, have Zach LaVine now locked into the fold and DeMar DeRozan coming off an MVP level season at 46. The Hawks you mentioned with DeJounte Murray coming in are at 50. Is that as far as you would go? Maybe even farther, or maybe not even that far?
No, because I really feel like if I took the Pelicans or Hawks, I feel like if I'm placing a wager on them, it's going to be something small in hopes that I get a chance to hit if they catch fire. But I doubt I'm even going to go that route, because typically I'll find my three teams that I find value that I think are have an absolute shot to get there. Like, I do like the way that the Pelicans team's assembled, but there are too many factors that could come in to bite them. And Zion would be the one at the top of the list to hold him back. And we've talked about how loaded the Western Conference is. I'm a Mavs fan. I think Luka is special. I think it's a generational talent. We're talking about this French kid coming in next year. I think Luka is that type of guy as well. And we saw he was able to get him to a Western Conference final, but he needs help. And I don't know that they got better in the offseason. He could come in better and just be dominant, a lot like Giannis in a different way. But, you know, it's hard to get really deep, because when we really talk about the NBA, what the lowest seeded team to ever win, or the highest seeded team, however you want to look at it, was what the Rockets is a six seed. We typically don't see teams make that run lower than that and go on to win. So I think when you get outside of the top 10, you might be getting a little cute.
Golden State Warriors won the NBA championship last year. They are 7-1 on the board right now. So I need you, as an NBA veteran, a guy who watches the league closely and understands this game, I need you to explain to me the Los Angeles Clippers having the exact same odds as the Golden State Warriors at 7-1. And even if you don't want to do it as a comparison to the Warriors, I do not understand the Clippers being at 7-1. I love Kawhi as much as the next guy. Tell me how the Clippers are this short, because I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I think, are we talking about just player personnel? So Kawhi's back healthy, PG's back healthy. They're adding in a John Wall that hasn't played in, what, really 2 years, or at least that's until – I don't know. Is that even official yet? Because I know that trade was coming down. It sounded like John Wall was going to wind up on the Clippers. But even adding him, okay? So if, let's say that happens. Is that really going to put them over the top? I'll say this much, because for as good as a defender PG and Kawhi are, I watched the Clippers go head-to-head with the Mavericks and watch a player like Luka give them both the business all throughout the game, even though they weren't going on to win that series a couple years ago. So maybe they're not as great defensively as they once were. It's still probably good enough. I think they're – and, you know, with the way that, again, that group that they have, there's a lot of talent, there's depth. I just don't see them getting past it. And the one concern with the Warriors would be health as they get older. They got guys battling back from injury. They were all injured this year at some point and missed time. Can they stay healthy consistently?
Well, that's a great point that you bring up, because I'm going to use it to talk about the team that we just put on the board here in the Los Angeles Clippers. Paul George is 32 years old going into the next year. Kawhi Leonard's 31 years old going into next year. Paul George barely played last year. Kawhi Leonard didn't play last year. And neither one of them has been completely healthy in 1, 2, 3 years. It has been 3 years since one of those players was even close to playing a full season. So let me ask you a question right now. You talk about John Wall. Right now, assuming John Wall gets there, is he the third best player on the Clippers? And if not, who is the third best player on the Clippers? Reggie Jackson?
Oh, it probably is Reggie Jackson. Or do you look at one of the younger players and think that somebody could, you know, make some noise? I can't buy into some of the other guys there necessarily. Like, I even liked Isaiah Hartenstein as a backup, and he's gone. So I think he's on your Knicks now, right? So yeah, I don't know. Like, it's hard to say, because I think they have a bunch of good role pieces, but their whole playoffs depend on them getting in and those guys being able to play 38 to 42 minutes a game. Can they do that? Can load management help them throughout the year? As you said, they haven't consistently stayed healthy. I was just trying to configure reasons why they should have the same going rate as the Warriors do, and I don't see it. It doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, here are teams I would rather bet to win the NBA championship than the Los Angeles Clippers at longer odds for where they are right now. I'm not a believer that Miami has enough scoring, But I'll sure as hell put a bet on Eric Spoelstra being able to get the most out of what he has with that group at 11-1 before that. I don't love the Lakers at 12. The Philadelphia 76ers at 15. Look, can you keep Joel Embiid healthy? And is Tyrese Maxey this good? If Tyrese Maxey is this good and Harden's coming back, then yeah, I would bet on them before I would bet on the Clippers. The Denver Nuggets are 24-1. Have we all forgotten how good Jamal Murray is? Like Jamal Murray is the kind of player who makes a real difference, and he's going to be added back in with the two-time MVP. Like, these are all teams that I would rather bet on than the Los Angeles Clippers at 7-1. I don't get it at all. I don't understand it. We haven't seen them healthy. And as you just mentioned, I think it's a great point, Jeremy. They are matchup dependent. You've got to get the right team against them, because if you come in, I think even a Warriors team with the kind of deep, you talk about what Luka was able to do them offensively. I think even a Warriors team that could have a Draymond able to lock one of them up defensively is a situation that's going to make life difficult on the Los Angeles Clippers. So there you go, everybody. If you trust Jeremy and you trust me and you know our history with these things, congratulations to the 2023 NBA champion, Los Angeles Clippers.
Exactly.
Okay, we'll talk a little MVP market on the other side when we come back. The favorite is Jeremy's favorite, Luka Doncic. It's You Better You Bet here on BetQL. You're locked in.